Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. 6 months ago, Nigel McCulloch went to Cambodia to follow the general elections, and since then he's been keeping an eye on the country's infamously corrupt government.
In 2007, the Cambodian municipality of Phnom Penh entered a lease agreement with the Chinese company Shukaku Limited. The lease stated that the company had management of over 130 hectares of land in Phnom Penh, including 90% of Byung Kok Lake. Late last year, 4,200 families living on the shores of the lake were evicted as Shukaku sent about reclaiming the lake, aiming to make it a tourist stop. As we'll find out soon, the link between Shukaku Limited and Cambodia's Prime Minister Hun Sen is controversially close. And this is only one example of a government whose actions have often been questionable and have often led to real controversy. The previous elections in 2003 are remembered for the violence that surrounded them, so I went to Cambodia for their most recent elections to see how they would be dealt with.
Well, it's election day here in Cambodia. It's a hot day and I'm standing in the middle of a massive dirt car park next to a constructed tent which is serving as the voting booth. So I'm outside one of the polling booths and you've just voted?
Yes, up to the people.
And it's just a tent, it's just this that you vote in? It's not a building or anything, they've just put up this tent here, haven't they?
Because up to the official, they choose the place. Yeah, some place they have building, or the house, or office.
And you've got ink all over your finger. You've got your finger's dirty with ink.
Yeah.
Tell me about that, why is that?
This one for identify that the people already election. Yeah.
So once you voted, they dip your finger into black ink?
Yes, sure.
So they know that you don't come back and do another vote?
Yeah, sure. Because it's just only one time.
Yeah. The EU have come, haven't they, to make sure that everything goes properly?
Yes, sure.
And did you enjoy voting?
Yes, I'm into it.
Dave is a New Zealander who's lived in Siem Reap for 6 years, running the helicopter business Helicopters Cambodia. His job as a pilot means he's able to observe the election process from a unique viewpoint.
We've got a bit of flying to do around Phnom Penh tomorrow, with taking some EU observers around to observe the election, some of the polling booths, and they'll be staying there for an hour or so and just observing the election and just getting a feel for how it's all going.
What is the point of that?
Oh, just so that they can hopefully report that it's been a fairly held election and there's been no intimidation at election sites. And as well as the observers we'll be taking around, there'll be a lot of others on the ground too.
There is a lot of hype here as well, isn't there? There are people in the streets with megaphones driving down in trucks. What do they do?
That's just a general electioneering, yes. Yes, we've been involved for a couple of the parties flying some of their members around to remote sites. It's very good feeling, you know, everyone's very well behaved, I think, generally.
You would have been here, being here for 6 years, you would have been here 5 years ago in the last election. How was that?
Yes, a little bit more violence went on, intimidation and so on. So hopefully there hasn't been anything near that amount that happened then.
There's often talk of corrupt government and things like that. Is there anything that is spoken about here? I've often found that not many people talk about politics.
No,
people
have tried to. That's right. It'll take time before we sort of hopefully get to a much better state of affairs, but it is definitely improving. I think the general, as you look around, places like Siem Reap especially, it's really booming at the moment and land prices are going up. And so I think the general economy is improving a lot and a lot of overseas companies coming in, so business practices will hopefully improve a lot, and how employees are treated will improve. So we're doing our best here to show how New Zealand companies operate here and how we treat our staff.
Do you find the Cambodian people are politically minded, or is it sort of something that just comes around and, like,
yes,
you say, they want to be over and done with it?
Yes, not normally, I don't think. They don't seem to be really political animals, the average Cambodian person. Before the election, I think there's been a lot of electioneering and promising and so on, as there normally is, I don't think, in every country, but I think Cambodians don't seem to be motivated, you know, generally speaking, to be very, very political. Most Cambodian people are looking forward to it being over so they can move on.
Danny used to be a taxi driver and now owns a clothing shop in Siem Reap. He hopes the election will bring change to his country.
Yes, my name is Danny. I'm living in Siem Reap. I moved from Phnom Penh for 5 years. I don't want the same leader that role the same rule.
You don't want the same prime minister?
Yeah, I don't want. I want to change.
Why do you want to change?
Because I want to my country develop. It's now it's not so good. I think it's not good for the justice.
Is there a lot of corruption?
Yes, so a lot of corruption. For me, you know, I can speak English and I study, so I want to like to be a guy, but I must have $3,000 to be a guy and have a license.
To pay to the government?
Yes, so this is corruption.
And is that everywhere? Is there a lot of that?
Yes, everywhere.
And are there a lot of people like you who will vote for the parties that you'll vote for?
They know which is good party. But for the people have the countryside, they get a bit of price from the government and they say something is to vote to them.
So people in the countryside are given presents from and so they vote for the government, is that
right? Yeah. Sometimes they do a little bit for them. They just see that, oh, this is good government, so I must vote to them. I think it's not so good for the people that live in the countryside. They don't know much about the situation.
What do you think the new government, if there is one, needs to change?
If the new government is not changed, we can change next month. So next month and next month, we can get a best one. Yeah.
So you just keep going at it, and yeah, you'll eventually get there.
Denise Arnold is a lawyer from Tauranga who stays in touch with the goings-on in Cambodia through her involvement with the Cambodia Charitable Trust. Recently, she has concerned herself with the reclamation of Byung Kok Lake.
It's an ecological disaster for Cambodia itself, this huge lake in central Phnom Penh that is being filled. It's being reclaimed. I've seen the mud being pumped into the lake 24/7. Unbelievable. And the water level is obviously rising and causing flood problems throughout the kind of slum areas in Phnom Penh. But it's these people have occupied this area for, you know, for decades, basically, bearing in mind that you couldn't really settle in Cambodia peaceably until into the 70s and 80s because of the whole Pol Pot and Khmer Rouge and Vietnamese invasion. Since 1989, they've had the ability to own land, and the law says that if you occupy it peaceably, you have legal rights in the land. There's about 4,000 families that live on the edges of this lake, and some quite well-established homes. Others are pole, you know, pole homes, but the ones I've been into are actually quite nice homes. They own them. They've lived there for as long as they've been entitled to, peaceably. And with the filling of the lake, they will lose their homes, and they have no compensation. They also use the lake for their livelihood. They grow their food. That's often how they support their family. It's there are photos on the internet of Bangkok before it was filled, and it's beautiful. It's now just a dump. There are some concerns that, in fact, Hun Sen is linked through his family back to the developers, and there's vested interests with those developers. Because the law says if you're in peaceful occupation, they'll say to the communities, you're in anarchy, or this was never government land, or it was always owned by this company, or, you know, you are squatting here, you haven't been here since 1989, or whatever their excuse is. And they'll try for years, they'll actually chip away at the communities and even go to the extent of perhaps sending some of the monks in that are kind of under the government's wing. The monks will move through the community and spread kind of rumours about, you know, if you were really a good Buddhist, you'd move on. Or, you know, it's sad. They chew away at the resolve of the community. But the evictions are actually carried out by a combination of the police and the army, and they are not pleasant. They, you know, the communities fight for several years to try and hold on to their land, bearing in mind they have a legal interest recognised under their own legal system. But generally, the evictions occur in the dead of night. The trucks roll in, the soldiers have got guns, there's cattle prods. Basically, the people are given half an hour to gather their possessions, take what they can, and get onto the trucks. when the time's up, loaded onto the tracks forcibly. For example, in Siem Reap, some people were shot, and they then get taken out into the countryside and dumped. Now, the land that has been taken over is then razor wired, and the buildings are flattened by bulldozers, and it's just left to sit until everybody kind of forgets about what had happened. So it might be a year before the developer comes in and develops it. The communities that have moved out into the countryside are left with no water, no sanitation, no shelter apart from what they've managed to grab, no access to jobs or healthcare, obviously. And it's, you know, the food side of things, you know, they're just no compensation. So they're broken, they've got no money, they are illiterate, they, you know, don't have the education that we take for granted. And one thing we also take for granted is the whole concept of human rights. You know, we believe that we have rights to certain basic things and that our government should allow us the freedom to live and to eat and have healthcare. But those people have never had that expectation. So you first of all have to give them a sense of having some entitlement and then work with them. But I think as far as being a lawyer myself, I think I have to look towards their own legal system and shame their government out in terms of they have rights. How can you ignore them? But there are some very good young lawyers. What we've managed to do with those lawyers is we've raised enough money to get 20 of them into the next Law Asia conference in Vietnam at the end of this year. Not only that, we've managed to get Cambodia on the agenda. So all of the 1,000 delegates there internationally are going to hear about the land rights issues in Cambodia. That's probably the best approach, is to put a spotlight on what's going on and to have other countries called upon to say, well, are you comfortable dealing with a country which has this track record in human rights? And I think that's where I'm trying to focus on how to turn the tide, support those grassroots lawyers, and start fighting back.
And if you'd like to know more about the story, you can visit cambodiatrust.org.nz. Coming up after the break, Simon talks to Sola Rosa.